Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, we start this program tonight by addressing the explanation of the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf of chapter 18 in the Quran, the recitation of some of which you have heard a moment ago. And I will base this explanation on the tafsir, or the explanation of our Shaykh Rahimahullah Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, may Allah's mercy be upon him, which he conducted in the year 1419 of Hijrah, shortly before his death, rahimahullah ta'ala. And in the beginning, he started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making salah and salam on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions. And he, rahimahullah, explained first that this surah, this chapter, is a Meccan revelation, meaning took place or was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, and that some of the verses of it, like verses 1 to 8 and 28 and 107 to 110, that some of the scholars are of the opinion that these were revealed in Medina, but he, the Shaykh rahimahullah, said that this exception needs a dalil, needs an evidence. And because originally the whole surah is a Meccan revelation, and if you see an exception, then you need a dalil, you need an evidence. And what then he made a definition of what is the Meccan revelation and what is the Medinite revelation. As to the Meccan revelation, it means that all the revelation that was revealed before the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina, before the Hijrah, before the migration. And that the Medinite revelation is that which took place after the immigration. Okay, even though some of it may have been revealed outside Medina, or in a place other than Medina. That is, the criteria is time, is timing. That what distinguishes the two is the timing. That before Hijrah is Meccan, although it may have been revealed outside Mecca. And after the Hijrah is Medinite, although it may have been revealed after or in a place other than Medina. And for example, the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is chapter 5, verse 3, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Today I have perfected for you your religion, and I have completed my favors upon you, and I have chosen Islam for you as your religion. This was revealed in Arafah, during the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is a Medinite, this verse is a Medinite revelation, although it took place outside Medina. It took place in Arafah, while the Prophet Muhammad was conducting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last farewell pilgrimage. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the chapter starts, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And the first verse, الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. All the praises and thanks be to Allah, who has sent down to his slave Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم the book, which is the Quran, and has not placed therein any crookedness. This is the verse. Alhamd started by Alhamd, and this is a attributing to Allah, the one who is praised, attributing to him perfection, out of love and magnification. Out of love and magnification. And through such a definition, the term madh, which is commendation, does not take place, because to commend someone does not necessitate love or magnification. Sometimes people, you know, commend a person who is not an equivalent of a filth, which is, you know, the basis of any currency. But they do that because of the benefit or to repel a certain harm. However, alhamd, which is the praise, فَإِنَّهُ وَصْفٌ بِالْكَمَالِ مَعَ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَالتَّعْظِيمِ. This is a description of perfection, which is done out of love and magnification. So that's when we say alhamdulillah, this is ascribing perfection to Allah by praising Him as such, out of love and magnification. And then alhamdu, and then lillah, to Allah, be to Allah. And Allah is a title that denotes uniqueness to Allah, and it denotes His purified and perfect self, and it is unique to Him. None can have such a description. الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابِ. Allah, الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابِ. The one who has sent down to his slave, meaning Muhammad, the book. Here there is a donation that we should make praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sending the book and the revelation, the Quran, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he called him in this verse, he called Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abd. So he qualified him with the attribute of ubudiyya, slavery in worship, because he is the most of mankind in such an attribute. And he has been described in this attribute of slavery in three places in the Quran. This is one verse. This is the first verse, Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi. You can notice that abd has been stated here. And the second place, it took was in Surah Al-Baqarah, in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 23. While defending him, Allah describes him as abd in this verse, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Defending his slave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, in chapter 2, verse 23, and if you Arab, pagans, Jews and Christians are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down to our slave, here it is, to our slave. So he qualified him with the attribute, this honorable attribute of being a slave of Allah, to our slave, then produce a surah, produce a chapter of the like thereof, and call your witnesses, meaning supporters and helpers, besides Allah, if you are truthful. So this came as defending, in a state of defense, against the doubts that the non-believers were raising concerning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message. And also, he had been called a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the description which came in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 1, when he was ascended to above the seven heavens, to above the seven heavens, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 17, verse 1, so سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Chapter 17 verse 1. Glorified and exalted be Allah above all that evil they associate with him, who Allah took his slave Muhammad for a journey by night from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred mosque at Mecca, to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the farthest most, the farmost mosque in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds, the neighborhood whereof we have blessed, in order that we might show Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our ayat, our proofs and evidences and signs. Verily he is all hearer, all seers. So on all of these honorable states, Allah described him by this honorable attribute of being a slave of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is really very important, because we know that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned this ummah not to exaggerate in his praise, because this would lead to what exactly happened with the Christians when they over exaggerated in the status of Jesus alayhi salam, and they ended up attributing divinity to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم ولكن قولوا عبد الله ورسول. Do not exceed the limits concerning me as the Christians had done with Jesus, son of Mary, but say Abdullah wa Rasuluh, meaning the slave of Allah and his messenger. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, الذي أنزل على عبده, his slave, الكتاب. What is الكتاب? What is الكتاب? The book. Here the book refers to Al-Quran. It has been named or called كتاب لأنه يكتب, you know, or لأنه جامع, because it's يعني written, or لأنه جامع, or compiler of the chapters, compiling chapters. And the Quran, is يعني could to call him either way. فهو مكتوب, it's written, and also it is a collection as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا, meaning, and has not placed therein any crookedness, and therefore it's upright, it's straight. That's why immediately in the next verse Allah described the Quran as قَيِّمًا. قَيِّمًا meaning utmost in straightness and uprightness. So in the beginning he negated the crookedness when he said لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا, and has not placed therein any crookedness. And the following verse immediately he affirmed the perfection of the book by saying قَيِّمَا. So he affirmed the perfection of the book by saying قَيِّمَا, which means مُسْتَقِيمًا غَيَةَ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ, that is, it is يعني an extreme and highest level of uprightness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear the wisdom behind the sending of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear the wisdom behind the sending down of the Quran. He said, لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. He has made it straight to give warning. That's the purpose, the wisdom, to give warning to the disbelievers of a severe punishment from him, and to give glad tidings to the believers in the oneness of Allah in Tawheed, who do righteous deeds, that they shall have a fair reward in paradise. And from the meanings also of this verse, that this book has been revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that he will use it as in warning, and the book itself is also a warner to mankind. So this is correct from either side. بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْ, straight to give warning of severe punishment from him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also give glad tidings to the believers. From the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and to give glad tidings to the believers in the oneness of Allah who do righteous deeds. There is a benefit here. This really informs that with iman, with belief, there should be righteous deeds also, and that لا يكفي الإيمان وحده فلا بد بل لا بد من عمل صالح. But belief alone is not suffice, but there must be righteous good deeds that accompany the belief. And that's why it was said to some of the Salaf, and أَلَيْسَ مُفْتَاحُ الْجَنَّةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, isn't it that the key for paradise is the testimony of لا إله إلا الله, that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. So this means that anyone who comes up with this testimony, it will be open for him. He answered yes, ولكن هل يفتح المفتاح أو هل يفتح المفتاح بلا أسنان. But it's true, but would a key be able to open without having right ridges? It needs the right ridges, and these are the conditions of لا إله إلا الله, that this testimony of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله has conditions that will make it true. And we have discussed those conditions in separate talks. And the believers, who are the believers in this verse? Those who believe بِمَا يَجِبُ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ, those who believe in that which it's a must or obligatory or mandatory to believe in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, clarified that in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when Jibreel alayhi salam asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam about iman, about faith, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam answered, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day, وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, that you believe in the pre-decree, it's good and it's bad. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. المؤمنين, those who believe in that which is mandatory upon them to believe, and this is detailed in the hadith of Jibreel, which we just recited, which was narrated. الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, meaning those believers who will do the righteous deeds. And when a deed will be righteous, or when deeds will be righteous, it requires three matters, and one of them is the belief, because deeds from non-believers are not accepted. So the second is, and we came over this last night, the second is al-ikhlas lillahi ta'ala, meaning the deed should be done solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly or thirdly, al-mutaba'a li shari'atillah, that it should be in compliance with the legislations and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know that the legislations of Allah after the advent of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are all abrogated by the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was in opposition to ikhlas, to sincerity and purity, is the shirk, is associating something or anything in worship with Allah. And with respect to mutaba'a, compliance, the opposite of it is innovation in deen. And that's why البدعة لا تقبل مهما ازدانت في قلب صاحبها. That's why an innovation, you know, is not accepted no matter how it is fair seeming in the heart of its doer. ومهما كان فيها من الخشوع, and regardless of how much tranquility and calmness is therein. وَمَهْمَا كَانَ فِيهَا مِنْ تَرْقِيقِ الْقَلْبِ, and regardless of how much there is of the softening of the heart, لِأَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ مُوَافِقَةً لِلشَّرَعِ, because it is not in agreement with the shara', with the legislation. That's why we say, the Shaykh rahimahullah added, كل بدعة مهما استحسنها مبتدعها فإنها غير مقبولة. Every innovation, irrespective of the fact that its doer beautifies it, making it look first seeming, فإنها غير مقبولة, then it is not really accepted. بل هي ضلالة, to the contrary, it is an astray, كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And therefore, anyone who does an action which is in accordance with the Sharia, at least from the outside, at least from the, what's apparent from it, لكن القلب فيه رياء, however the heart has show off in such an action, with respect to such an action, فإنه لا يقبل لفقد الإخلاص, then it will not be accepted because it lacks sincerity and purity. And anyone who, ومن عمل عملا خالصا على غير وفق الشريعة فإنه لا يقبل. And anyone who does any sincere action which is not in compliance with the Sharia, then again that will not be acceptable. إذن لابد من أمرين, and therefore there must be two things, إخلاص الله, إخلاص لله, إخلاص لله عز وجل, واتباع لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That there should be sincerity and purity for Allah the Most Magnificent and the Most Majestic, and should be in accordance with the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, otherwise it will not be a righteous deed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to give glad tidings to the believers in the next verse, أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا, أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا, meaning that they shall have a fair reward, and that is paradise. مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, they shall abide therein forever. And this reward, because in, this is in response to the action, and this is from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it is from His justice to call this as a reward to us, or to the person, to the believer who is obedient, so that man will feel secure and assured that this reward is guaranteed. Because we know that everyone who is being hired to do anything, if he does his job, then he deserves the reward. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best example. And then here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they shall have a fair reward. A fair reward. And in another verse, there came another description, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً, as in chapter 10 verse 26, and in another verse of Surah Ar-Rahman verse 60, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, for those who have gone in this world, and even more, this ziyada, and this is the having the honor of looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as came in the explanation of the Prophet ﷺ in an authentic narration. And also Surah Ar-Rahman verse 60, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, is there any reward for good other than good? مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, that they shall abide therein forever, meaning staying forever without sickness, without death. Nothing of that will touch them. No hunger, no thirst, no heat, no cool, everything is perfect from all of its angles. And then when should we know? We should know that it's from the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, أن الجنة موجودة الآن وأنها مؤبدة, that the paradise exists now and that it is forever existing, وأن النار موجودة الآن وأنها مؤبدة, and similarly with respect to the fire of hell, and this came in the Quran regarding the staying or the presence of paradise and hellfire in many places in the Quran. And one of these places, we go over them, three places that are very important. Chapter 4 verses 168 to 169. إن الذين كفروا وظلموا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم طريقا إلا طريق جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. Those who disbelieve and did wrong by concealing the truth about Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his message of the Tawheed, meaning لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم, Allah will not forgive them, ولا ليهديهم طريقا, nor he guides them to any way except إِلَّا طَرِيقَ جَهَنَّمْ, except the way of hell, to dwell therein, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, to dwell therein forever, وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا, and this is very easy for Allah, and this is very easy for Allah. This is in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verses 168 and 169. Also in Surah Al-Ahzab, which is chapter 33 verses 64 and 65, قال تعالى إن الله لعن الكافرين وأعد لهم سعيرا خالدين فيها أبدا لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا. Indeed Allah has cursed the disbelievers and had prepared for them a flaming fire, سعيرا, خالدين فيها أبدا, wherein they will be forever, لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا, neither a protector nor a helper they shall find there. This is in Surah Al-Ahzab 33, 64, 65, and in Surah Al-Jinn, Surah Al-Jinn in Surah Al-Jinn, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, 72 verse 23, and anyone who disobeys Allah and His Messenger, فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمْ, then verily for him is the fire of hell, he shall dwell in there forever. And here there needs a clarification here, which is very important. We read in the last part here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and anyone who disobeys Allah and His Messenger. Does this mean that, and we all fall in sin, so does this really mean for anyone who disobeys Allah or disobeys the Messenger, this applies on him? When we know from the other verses in the Quran, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به, Allah does not forgive that, you know, rivals be set besides Allah, along with Allah, ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء, but he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgives whomever he wishes, meaning in other than shirk. So how can we understand these two verses? This means those who insist on their sins and do that out of arrogance and disdainfulness and die on that, and die on such a state. And this brings these two statements in agreement, alhamdulillah ta'ala. So all these three verses which we have cited now are explicit in terms of the occurrence of the fire of hell as well as the occurrence of paradise. And that the difference concerning the fire of hell, saying that, some saying that it will come to an end, he says, the Shaykh rahimahullah, this has no real value of opinion. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all knower and the creator, says khalidina fiha abada, they will abide then forever. Then it will be said that la abadiya, I mean, there is no that this, it's not forever. And this is strange, the Shaykh rahimahullah said. Then he cautioned that we should be careful regarding this matter, that al-jannah wal-nar makhluqatan al-an, they are created now, and li'anna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dhakara fil jannati u'iddat wa fil nari u'iddat, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned with respect to the jannah that it is u'iddat, prepared, as well as the same term u'iddat, meaning also prepared. Then we go to the next verse, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, and to warn those, the Jews and the Christians and the pagans, who say Allah has begotten a son or offspring or children. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا, and to warn those, the Jews and the Christians and the pagans, who say Allah has begotten a son or offspring or children, no knowledge have they of such a thing, nor have their fathers. Mighty is the word that comes out of their mouths, that is, Allah begot sons and daughters, they utter nothing but a lie. They utter nothing but a lie. Then the Shaykh explains these verses. This is a warning, the Shaykh says, to the like of the Christians, who said that إِنَّ الْمَسِيحَ ابْنُ اللَّهِ, who said the Messiah, the Messiah, Jesus, is the son of Allah, and to the Jews as well, who said that العزير ابن الله, العزير, is the son of Allah, and the mushriks from the pagan Arabs, who said إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ بَنَاتُ اللَّهِ, that the angels are the daughters of Allah. And Al-Uzair, with respect to the Jews, he was a righteous man, he wasn't really a prophet. Then Allah here denies for them, they're saying, by saying, no knowledge have they of such a thing, meaning of such a thing in their saying, or with respect to the children or offspring that they attribute to Allah. So if they don't have such a knowledge, then the only thing remaining is jahl, is ignorance. وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, as well as this applies regarding their fathers, who said the same thing as they said, and also without knowledge. All these are conjectures and delusions, and these are not uloom, they are not really knowledge matters of knowledge. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, meaning mighty, such a word that they utter. Just as Allah said in Surah Maryam, in chapter 19, verses 90-93, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا أَنْ دَعَوْا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا إِنْ كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا. Whereby the heavens are almost torn, and the earth is split asunder, and the mountains fall in ruins, that they ascribe a son or offspring or children to the Most Gracious Allah, but it is not suitable for the majesty of the Most Beneficent Allah that he should beget a son or offspring or children. Why? In kullu man fi samawati wal ardi illa ati ar-Rahman abda. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes unto the Most Beneficent as a slave. But then if someone comes and says, let's read the following verse in the Quran, chapter 43 verse 81, someone may bring this statement of Allah. قُلْ إِن كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. So if someone says, doesn't Allah say قُلْ إِن كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ, say Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, if the Most Beneficent Allah had a son or children as you pretend, then I am the first of Allah's worshippers. What does this really mean? Here there is an if, and this is conditional. This is a matter of condition. So, to cling something to a condition does not prove the occurrence of what is being conditional. Okay, this is what I'm saying. If in kana, say in kana, in here is condition, as a letter of condition, grammatical. So to base something on condition, to link it to a condition, does not necessitate, لا يدل على إمكان المشروط, it does not really prove the possibility of occurrence of what is being conditioned. This is like the saying in chapter 21 verse 22, and this is impossible to be the case, and he is the Prophet ﷺ is making evidence against them by such a saying, as in chapter 21. This is يعني, very similar to other places in the Quran, alhamdulillah, as in the saying of 21, had there been, look at this is the condition, had there been therein in the heavens and the earth, okay, had there been therein in the heavens and the earth gods besides Allah, then verily both would have been ruined. لو كان فيهما آلهة إلا الله لفسدتا. And in reality there isn't any, in order what, to prove that God is only one. فسبحان الله رب العرش عما يصفون. The same thing is with the case with the sun. It is not really real. Yani this is impossible. Now if you want it in Arabic, then we can say, as the Shaykh rahimahullah said, ولكن التعليق بالشرط, yes, التعليق بالشرط لا يدل على إمكان المشروط, يعني على حدوث المشروط, لا يدل عليه, لأننا نفهم من آيات أخرى, وأنا أعطيتك الآية, because we know from other verses like the verse that I just gave you, لا يمكن أن يكون هذا, كما قال الله عز وجل, فإن كنت في شك مما أنزلنا إليك فاسأل الذين يقرؤون الكتاب من قبلك. وهو لا يمكن أن يشك, هذا فرض الأمر الذي لا يقع. This is hypothetical and it doesn't really occur, as in the case where had there been there in the heavens and the earth gods beside Allah, then verily both would have been ruled. This is the same meaning, because yani it's impossible to have gods other than Allah to govern that universe, but it could be something really of utmost impossibility. That's what it is. وإياكم. So كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم, mighty is the word that comes out of their mouths, that they utter nothing but a lie. Can we, the Shaykh is saying, can we deduce from this word, from their mouth, that this word is coming from their mouth, that those who utter it say or utter on their tongues that which is not in their hearts, and that they are not really sure that Allah indeed has a son. Why? Because any sensible person, any sane person wouldn't, you know, say that Allah has a son. And how could that be? That this son, from the creation, we see, like us, eating, drinking, putting on clothes, and that he's afflicted with thirst, with hunger, with what's warmth and with cold. How could that be a son for Allah the Most High? This is impossible. That's why Allah right away said, إِن يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. In here, إِن يَقُولُونَ is carries the meaning of ma, meaning they utter nothing but a lie. I mean, what they are saying, ma yaqulunu, is only a lie. It's a lie. And a lie, what is the meaning of lies? Is the news which are in opposition to reality. And the truth is what is in agreement with reality. Then we go to the sixth verse. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Perhaps you would kill yourself, O Muhammad, in grief over their footsteps, for their turning away from you, because they believe not in this narration in the Quran. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. This is an addressing to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing him in this manner. لأنه كان صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم يجيبوه حزن حزنا شديدا. When they wouldn't respond positively to his call, he would really feel very, very sad. وضاق صدره, and he would become distressed. فسلاه الله عز وجل, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this comfort, and that you have nothing, you know, to be blamed for them not ascribing to the Quran, or accepting the Quran, or accepting your pure proclamation. You have done and you have proclaimed, and we know that the duty of the messenger is al-balagh, is the proclamation. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Ra'd in chapter 13 verse 40, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَغْ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَغْ, in chapter 13 verse 40, your duty is only to convey the message, and on us is the reckoning. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابِ. Your duty is only to convey the message, and on us is the reckoning. And similarly, this applies to the inheritors of the Prophet after him, meaning al-ulama, the learned scholars of Islam. وَظِيفَتُهُمُ الْبَلَاغُ وَأَمَّا الْهِدَايَةُ فَبِيَدِ اللَّهِ. Their duty is to proclaim. As far as guidance, then that's from Allah. And we know that a person, the believing person, really becomes saddened if people do not respond to the truth. But in this respect, people differ into two categories. People differ into two categories. One kind of people will feel saddened because he himself was not accepted. لأنه لم يقبل نوع يحزن لأنه لم يقبل هو. Meaning, this first type of people is that they become saddened because they themselves were not accepted. The second, ونوع يحزن لأن الحق لم يقبل لأن الحق لم يقبل. Another becomes saddened because the truth was not accepted. And this is the latter one is which is praiseworthy. The first one is blameworthy. Because the first one, if he is calling others, he is calling them to himself. والثاني, and the other case, if he calls, then he calls for the sake of Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Majestic. That's why Allah says, أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. Not your way. أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. Call to the way of your Lord, as in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 27, verse 25. I'm sorry, chapter 16, 125 is a correction. Okay, so yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, ud'u ila sabili rabbik, don't call for yourself. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah said, لكن إذا قال الإنسان أنا أحزن لأنه لم يقبل قولي. Now if someone says, well, you know, I feel saddened because my saying was not accepted. لأنه الحق, because it is the truth. And he would say also, ولذلك لو تبين لي الحق على خلاف قولي أخذت به. And I would be such that if the truth was different from my saying, I will take by the truth. فهل يكون محمودا, would he then be praiseworthy or not? The Shaykh answers by saying, يكون محمودا, he will be praiseworthy, he would be praiseworthy in this position, ولكن ليس كالآخر, but not like the other one who الذي ليس له هم إلا قبول الحق, not like the other one who his concern is only centered upon accepting the truth, whether it came from himself or from others. That would be the highest, or the perfected will deserve the highest perfection in praise. Then we move to the verse number 7. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Verily we have made that which is on earth as an adornment for it. Why? Why? In order that we may test mankind as to which of them are best in deeds. Best in deeds. And underline that, best in deeds. That is those who do good deeds in the most perfect manner. The Shaykh rahimahullah is saying, if you ponder and contemplate the Quran, تجد أنه غالبا يقدم الشرع على الخلق. You will find, and this is a very important benefit, that it gives precedence to the Sharia over creation. It gives precedence to the Sharia over creation, and we will make, يعني, the Shaykh will make that clear in a moment. قال الله تعالى, let's put that in from Surah Ar-Rahman, chapter 55, verses 1-3, so that we can understand this yani very vividly. قال الله تعالى الرحمن. These are the words of Allah. This is from yani from the this all refers to, this is under Sharia, under the revelation. الرحمن علم القرآن. Look at this. علم القرآن. Then he says, خلق الإنسان. The most beneficent Allah. علم القرآن. Has taught you mankind the Quran by his mercy. علم القرآن. خلق الإنسان. خلق الإنسان. You see how it came, the order came, the preference came to the matters of legislation. He taught the Quran. Then he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he created man. And then he, the Shaykh added, وَتَأَمَّلِ الْآيَاتِ فِي هَذَا الْمَعْنَى, and contemplate and ponder the verses in this respect. تجد أن الله يبدأ بالشرائع قبل ذكر الخلق وما يتعلق به. You will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions matters of legislation before mentioning the creation and what's related to them. Why? لأن المخلوقات, this is the benefit, لأن المخلوقات إنما سخرت للقيام بطاعة الله عز وجل. That is because the creatures, you know, have been made subservient to perform the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Surah Al-Dhariyat, He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This is the purpose for the creation, that jinn and mankind should only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 29, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah is the one who created everything for you. Why? Why? Why did Allah create all this thing for us? In order these things were to be at our service, so that we perform the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this benefit you will know أن أصل الدنيا وإيجاد الدنيا إنما هو للقيام بشريعة الله عز وجل. That the foundation for the creation of this life is that إنما هو للقيام, so that the creatures perform and manifest the Sharia, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important benefit from this verse. And from Surah Ar-Rahman, chapter 55:13, Allah mentions that which pertains to Sharia, then He mentions the creation. Ar-Rahmanu, the most beneficent, allam al-Qur'ana, taught mankind the Qur'an, khalaq al-insan. Then He mentioned the creation of man. And why this is important? Because people don't really base their whole life for this world only. Allah created everything to worship Him, but would they comply or not? This is something else. In the same way as He has created us, created mankind, you see, there are those who will comply and there are those who will not. Now, and this brings a benefit which we discussed earlier when we talked about the pre-decree of Allah. In fact, we will have a verse that will come shortly. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wills, let him believe, and whoever doesn't, then he will disbelieve. But then he immediately followed that, and that a warning for the disbelievers as to what is awaiting for them in the hereafter. Then we go now to the other. وَجَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. There are a lot of benefits here. We have made that which is on the earth as an adornment for it. We have made that which is on the earth as an adornment for it. Why adornment for it? زينة للأرض, adornment for the earth. وذلك لاختبار الناس, and that is to test mankind. That is to test mankind. Meaning test them for what? Will they cling to this adornment, or would they cling to their creator and resort to their creator? This is the test. So mankind are divided into two types. There are those who cling to the adornment of this life, and there are those who relate their life to Allah, their creator, and listen to this clearly in the Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, following verses 175 and 176. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. ولو شئنا لرفعناه بها ولكنه أخلد إلى الأرض واتبع هواه فمثله كمثل الكلب إن تحمل عليه يلهث أو تتركه يلهث ذلك مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآياتنا فاقصص القصص لعلهم يتفكرون. Contemplate this great verse and recite, O Muhammad, to them the story of him to whom, let's have them one by one inshallah so that we can, the story of him to whom we gave our ayat, our proofs and evidences and verses and lessons and signs and revelations, but he threw them away. So Shaitan, Satan, followed him up and he became of those who went astray. And had we willed, we would surely have elevated him therewith, but he clung to the earth and followed his own vain desire. So his description is the description of a bug. If you drive him away, he lolls his tongue out. Or if you leave him alone, he still lolls his tongue out. Such is the description of the people who reject our ayat, our proofs, evidences. So relate the stories, perhaps they might reflect, or they may reflect. So relate the stories, perhaps they may reflect. Allahu Akbar. What a perfect description. So Allah has made these adornments, the ikhtibar al-ibad, to test the creation. And whether this adornment is from the thing that which Allah had created, or from the things which man makes. So all these decorated palaces, are adornments, no doubt about it. They are adornments, but they are, you know, human-made. However, the earth with its mountains and its rivers and its plants, and when Allah sends rain upon it, it will bring fruits from every pairs also of growth. This is adornment from Allah. Where we know that this is a test? Because he said, جَعَلْنَا مَعَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا, right away. He said, in order that we may test them. أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, as to which of them are best in deeds. Here the Shaykh is reminding us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that we test them as to those who will be abundant in deeds, who will do much deeds. No. Because he said, Al-ibratu bil-ahsan ila bil-akthar. The matter is, the relevance of the matter is as to that which is best, not that which is plentiful or many or much. And that's why he says, لو صلى الإنسان أربع ركعات على يقين ضعيف. And that's why if a person performs four rak'ah in salah, but with weak certainty, or in a way which is not in accordance with the way of law, of sharia, this is one case. And another person makes two rak'ah with certainty and with good compliance with the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then فَأَيُّهُمَا أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In the beginning, Jibreel alayhi salam, in the very first encounter, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to read. And he was terrified and scared and everything in the very first encounter. But in other additional encounters, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear, and he knew who was the Jibreel alayhi salam, and that he was in name Jibreel, as in the case where when he asked him these questions about iman, about faith, about Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ answered, and when Jibreel left, he told the companions who were sitting there that, do you know who was this one who came and asked these questions? They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. Then he told them, this was Gabriel, who came to teach you your deen, to teach you your religion. Of course he defined himself as a messenger from Allah, and that he was trusted with the with the revelation, and this is stated in the Quran in many places. As to the second person who did the two rak'ah in such a way, with certainty and with following, then who is best? Certainly the second one. Then وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. In chapter, the same chapter, but verse 8, and verily we shall make all that is on the earth a bare dry soil without any vegetation or trees. Why is Allah mentioning this after He mentioned all the adornments? All this earth with its adornments and its palaces and its trees and its plants, you name it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a bare dry soil. This is the same when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha in chapter 20 verse 105, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. Chapter 20 verse 105, and they ask you concerning the mountains, O Muhammad, say, my Lord will blast them and scatter them as particles of dust. And in another verse, the same chapter 20 106 107, فَيَذَرُهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتَى. Just momentarily, right away, Be and it will be. Then he shall leave it as a level, smooth plain. You will see therein nothing crooked or curved. And therefore there is the lesson that we shouldn't really cling to this earth. Our hearts should not cling to them, because it will come to an end. It will become as if it were not existing. In fact, Allah says in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 24, كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. Chapter 10, verse 24, Surah Yunus. Let's read this verse because it's all relevant to what the Shaykh is talking about. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. Verily the likeness of this worldly life is as the water, rain, which we send down from the sky. So by it arises the intermingled produce of the earth, over which men and cattle eat, until when, here is the point, until when the earth is clad in its adornments and is beautified, and its people think that they have all the powers of disposal over it, our command reaches it by night or by day, and we make it like a clean mown harvest, as if it had not flourished yesterday, as if it had not flourished yesterday. Thus do we explain the proofs, the evidences, the lessons, the signs in detail for the people who reflect. So when the day of resurrection will occur, where will be the palaces? Where will be the mountains? Where will be the trees? Oh, the whole earth will be like a smooth surface. No plants, no buildings, no trees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn it juruza. It will be smooth, sleek, and then Allah will turn the juruza khaliya min zinatiha allati kanat alayha, emptied of all this adornment, dry soil without any vegetation or trees, free from all this adornment. So man, don't cling to this life and don't cling to this earth, but cling to the one who created you and created this earth and adorned you and adorned this earth. Then Allah now begins telling the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ concerning the people of the cave, their story. And this is in chapter 9, where Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription, the news or the names of the people of the cave, were a wonder among our signs? Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription were a wonder amongst our signs? And this, do you think, such a statement, تتضمن الاستفهام من أجل شد النفس إلى الاستماع إلى القصة لأنها حقيقة عجب. هذه القصة عجب. In such a way, أم حسبت, do you think this implicit in such a statement is the exclamation in order to attract oneself to listen to the story, because really it's a wonder. This story is a wonder. Ajab. Amongst the signs of Allah. Al-Kahf meaning the cave. They were young men who fled for refuge from their disbelieving folk to the cave. They fled their folk who were disbelievers and came to this cave for shelter. They were young men. And the Jews, in the beginning of this story, the Jews asked the Prophet ﷺ many questions. Amongst them were this question concerning the people of the cave. Naam. They were testing him ﷺ, and they asked him about the people of the cave, and Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him of their story. And Al-Kahf, Am Hasibta Anna Ashab Al-Kahf, do you think that the people of the cave, Warraqim, that's alright, that's okay, Warraqim meaning the inscription, because their story were written on this cave from its beginning to the end. It was inscribed on one stone on this cave. Their story was inscribed from the beginning to the end. Those people of the cave were from min ayatina ajaba, from the universal signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wondering signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are wonders because these were seven with their dog. Seven with their dog. They hated the status of their people of shirk. So they left متجهين إلى الله, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to save themselves from that upon which their people were on, from the state of shirk and kufr and disbelief. So they resorted to this cave. And from the good which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for them, is that this cave has a door. لا يتجه للمشرق ولا للمغرب ولا للمغرب. Subhanallah. This door is not in the direction of neither the east nor the west. Because had it been in the direction of the east, then the sun would have eaten them up at the time of sunrise. And it would have done the same if that door was to the direction of the west, when the sun would set. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ فَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْهِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The same surah but verse 17, barakallah fiqh. And we will come to that, inshallah, but just to and he gives some idea about the story. Chapter 17. وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاور عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غربت تقرضهم ذات الشمال. And you might have seen the sun when it rose declining to the right from their cave, and when it set turning away from them to the left, while they lay in the midst of the cave. And this is one of the ayat of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He whom Allah guides, he is the rightly guided, but he whom he sends astray, for him you will find no guiding friend to lead him to the right path. Then comes the next verse, verse 10 inshallah. إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. From here the story begins. Remember when the young men fled to refuge from their disbelieving folk to the cave. They said, فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا, they invoked Allah, آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, bestow on us mercy from yourself, وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, and facilitate for us our affair in the right way. So here begins, remember when the young men fled from their people, and the kuffar of Quraysh also asked the Prophet ﷺ about their story, and he ﷺ didn't read the books of the past. Why? And this was something to prove his messengership. You know, had he been, you know, knowing of the books of the past, they would have taken this against him, and they say, you are only reading the books of the past. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is very important, why Allah in chapter 29 in verse 48, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذًا لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. Neither did you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read any book before it, meaning the Quran, nor did you write any book whatsoever with your right hand. In that case, indeed, the followers of falsehood might have doubted. Then Allah asserted by saying, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Nay, but they, the clear ayat, meaning the description and the qualities of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written in the Torah and the Injil, are preserved in the breasts of those who have been given knowledge among the people of the scriptures. So alhamdulillah, this is in itself is a proof for his messengership sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah described them as fitya, and fitya means the young, yani who is perfect in strength and will. This is the definition of fitya in Arabic, al-fata. أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ, that the young men fled to refuge in the kahf, in the cave, from their people, fearing for themselves from shirk and kufr, and therefore resorted to Allah by invoking Him, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, O Allah, bestow upon us from your mercy, meaning a mercy whereby you will, like in the saying of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Abu Bakr, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told Rasulullah, علمني دعاء أدعو به في صلاتي, O Messenger of Allah, teach me one dua, one invocation that I can supplicate Allah with it in my prayers. قال, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him the following dua, اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. O Allah, I have indeed wronged myself so much. ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت, and none will forgive the sins except you. فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك, then have upon me forgiveness from you. وارحمني, and be merciful to me. إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم, you are verily the one who is oft forgiving and most merciful. So this brings the explanation of the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, which our Shaykh Rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, had explained, and now it's alhamdulillah published, but this is the first time that you are hearing it in the in this live kind of presentation in English. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that a benefit for myself and for all of you. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبارك الله فيكم.